It's been a challenging week in lots of different ways. The government opened. That was a really good thing. And yeah, some people stopped shaving during that time, and some people are still growing beards from that, still in that time. I'm looking at a particular person in the choir. I'm not going to point his name or point him out or anything like that. But, you know, it was a weekend, a week of lots of challenges in many different ways. For me, it was a week where I spent some time kind of with an important question, and one that you might find yourself kind of wrestling with from time to time, which is, you know, what is important? What is the thing that I need to be focusing on? I found myself, you know, engaged in some different projects and different things, and a few times I found myself, you know, up to my eyeballs in a particular thing and having to, you know, set a lot of other things aside and worrying about them. Like, well, that's not getting taken care of and this is not getting done. It's not uncommon for me to have to do that, but it was just a particularly bad week for that. But it brought to mind the common question I think we all have to face, which is, what's important? What's important? What's the most important thing? What are the things that we actually need to kind of focus on and do? And there's lots of competition. There are many ways in which different people, different, you know, groups, organizations, institutions, even culture, it, you know, says, all right, well, this is important and that's not important. And then there will be, like, you know, a different group or culture or person say, oh, no, that is not important, this is important. And you have to kind of like evaluate that, make sense of that all the time. Should I, if you're a student, should I really, really work on that paper that I know that I have to turn in at the end of the week, right? Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I would rather, you know, focus on this. Should I prepare for the big game? Should I worry about my taxes? Should I try to take care of that brokenness in my family? Some things are easy that are important. But you know, sometimes the really important things, they're hard. And there's a lot of things that are in our life that says, you don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's radioactive. It's not really what you need to do. So the question, what's important, is commonplace and something we have to kind of work through. And that is very clearly what is happening in this passage of Scripture. Here comes a person who's wealthy, who is also trying really hard to be faithful to God, right? He comes up to Jesus, he's heard about Jesus, and he's trying to kind of, you know, check things out. And the first thing he does, he comes up to Jesus and he says, good teacher. And Jesus stops him right there. It's interesting, isn't it? He stops him. No. Don't be coming to me trying to, I don't know, kind of schmooze, trying to improve. Oh, yes, I am good. Like, you know, let me tell you something nice about you so that you can give me what I want, right? So Jesus stops him, says, don't do that. And then he's like, okay, what is it that I want that I should be doing? I'm sorry. What is it that is important? He says to Jesus. And Jesus answers him. He says, don't commit adultery. That's a pretty big word now. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony, and honor your father and your mother. I remind my children of that frequently. They're coming home for Thanksgiving. We'll have a conversation. Yeah, those are things to do. Those are kind of things that you find inside of the core commandments, the explicit, this is what you're supposed to do in your life. This is a faithful way to live. The guy says, I got you, Jesus. I've got you. I've kept all these things. Ever since I was a boy, I was keeping these things. And Jesus says, great. There's one more thing. There's the other part of the commandments that are not mentioned in this. There's one more thing, he says. I want you to take everything you have, sell it, give it away, and follow me. Now, the first of the Ten Commandments says, you shall love the Lord your God with everything. Don't mess around. I am the Lord your God. Love me. Love me. In other words, all those things that are things that you still possess, those things that could be idolatrous or could be barriers between what you are and who I am, God says, get rid of that. And that's where it gets hard. The question of what's important, the question of what is essentially valuable becomes so powerful that it makes the guy just miserable. Remember what it said? He becomes sad because he had a lot of stuff. He had a boat. He had plans. He had expectations. He had things that it's his stuff. Jesus says to him, you need to remove those barriers and follow me. There's a whole conversation about how hard this is economically to do. So notice that not only does he, have to, we don't know what he does, by the way. We have this kind of like belief about what he might have done, but that particular passage doesn't tell us. It says that he got sad and he had to confront that. And not only that, everyone else in that circle had to deal with that same question. Jesus said, what? You want me to what? With what I have? How is it that anyone gets in to heaven? How is it that anyone gets into a intimate place inside the kingdom of God? And so Jesus doubles down, right? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And you know what? People for years have tried to like figure out, well, he was talking about a particular part of the temple at the time. He was talking about, I think he means what he means, which is it's hard. This whole business of setting up our resources as the center of who we are and what our life is, it creates a barrier. It creates something difficult. So Jesus is not, he doubles down. He is not backing off of this. This is hard, he says. It's hard. And with human beings, it's impossible. That's a little bit of grace, by the way. With human beings, he knows what he's dealing with. He knows who he's dealing with and the struggles that we have. Because if we don't look at our treasures as those things that we can use as resources, potential luxury goods, potential things, we also use those resources as a way to kind of like stave off something bad from happening. You know, we can buy our way out of some things, or at least we try to, or we think we're going to. But in the end, ultimately, all you have is your soul. That's all I have. I'm borrowing shoes. I have temporary possession of a pomegranate. I drive a borrowed car. I live in a borrowed body. But all you have is your soul. And Jesus says, and I want that. And I want that, and I want you to have it with me. give it up. Now, I'm speaking about what we have and what we have to give. Not just about our financial life, although this is the season that we're talking about that. And I hope that you will stick around after worship today to be part of that conversation. We're going to have just a short little teeny tiny little presentation to kind of make sure that everybody's on the same page as best we can. But then, you know, there's lots of conversation that we can have about our church and our church's life and our church's financial stewardship. Okay. And it is a question that is in front of folks as we are inviting you to estimate your giving so we can plan mission and ministry moving into the future. And yes, we do need more. Cost of living and inflation has eaten any increase that has occurred over the last few years in giving. And if we are going to do what we're trying to do, we're going to need more. That's true. Now, I know that some folks here give and give generously, give a lot, and that's great. Others are in a process of growing in that. But that's okay. We're all in that process together. Me too. So if we could just kind of like understand that there's a financial question, but also if we could also hold on to the fact that this is much bigger than our finances. How that financial question is answered is rooted in something much bigger, which has to do with our soul. Really, the only thing that you have. And Jesus wants it. Wants to live it with you. Jesus does not need this church. Really, Jesus, you know, is at work all throughout the world. God is doing many things all throughout the world. And this church could not exist, and that work would still go on. But he wants us. And that's even better. Because in wanting us, he has given to us this miracle that we can actually get along with each other well enough to be church together. That we can figure out how to do things, even when we don't necessarily always agree, politically, ideologically, or whatever. You know, I don't like the way that you peel your pomegranate. Jesus wants us and says, follow me. Give it up and follow me. That's hard. I know. Humanly impossible, but with God, right? What did he say? With God? There we are. There we are. Even letting it go. Now, it's tempting for me to stop the sermon now and say, hey, Willis, let's play I'll Surrender All. I Surrender All, right? I'm not asking you to do that. Because sometimes in the midst of these kind of moments, there is this emotional appeal. And I think it's almost a little manipulative in some ways. Oh, we're going to surrender all, is how the song goes. Or the preacher joke will be, by the way, you've probably heard this, maybe even from me, you know, it's not I surrender some, right? It's the whole shooting match. But I'm not asking you to respond by emotion. I'm asking you to make a hard, calculated, honest, spiritual choice. Let it go. and drive the decision of how you let it go through your whole being, through your soul. As hard as it is, do that. Maybe that's the job for us this week as we anticipate gratitude. So I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.